Have you ever tried to please someone who could not be pleased? One time. How did that work out? Perhaps a teacher and a student relationship. You may think back to a professor in college, or maybe you are that teacher that cannot be pleased, that everything is not good enough. That I had professors in English class. We had to take some technical English in college, and I believe made it their goal to find something wrong with your paper. It was impossible to get a 100 on any piece of writing, which maybe because I'm a terrible writer, but it is not a good feeling. Perhaps you have a relationship with your boss as an employee, and you feel like whatever you do, it is wrong. Whatever you do, it is not good enough. I ask you that question this morning because I want you to think about, what would it take to please God? See, there's good and bad news. The bad news is you cannot please God on your own. The good news is that God has a name for our need. We, I believe, are in week 9 of the names of God. You can turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. This next name, compound name of God, is Yahweh Tsidkenu. You may see it spelled a variety of different ways. Tsidkenu, Tsidkenu. It means the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. I want to very briefly point out that this is different than Yahweh M. Kodeshkim or Makadesh, the Lord our sanctification. He is both. God sanctifies us, conforms us to his own image, conforms us to be holy like him. That is sanctification. There's progressive, there's ultimate, which will happen when we're caught up in the air with him. God is our sanctifier. He purifies us and cleanses us. He washes us. The Lord is also our righteousness, another benefit that we have in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jeremiah was a prophet sent by God to speak to the kingdom of Judah. Israel had already rejected God. They were in Babylonian captivity about 100 years prior to this. But Jeremiah was called and set apart from his mother's womb to call Judah into repentance, warn them of what would happen if they continued in disobedience. See, God clearly outlined in Deuteronomy the blessings that would come upon them if they obeyed, the curses if they disobeyed God the Father. And there was not one generation in Israel that ever followed God with their whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. Jeremiah preached. Hardly anyone listened. Because of his message, he was rejected by his family, friends, and neighbors. He was laughed at those that he was trying to save and bring the message of repentance. He was even thrown into prison when they were tired of hearing him. He's often known as the weeping prophet because he wept and grieved deeply as he shared God's heart of brokenness over his people that rejected him. There was a period of 800 years as Israel was delivered from Egypt and taken into Babylon. They rejected God's law to love him, walk in his ways, keeping his commands, decrees. As individuals, as families, and as a nation, God's pure and holy character is the standard by which righteousness we must live by. And no one has ever lived up to it but one man, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. So for this reason, God announced through the prophet Jeremiah a message of hope. And I want you to see it's used two times in chapter 23 and chapter 33. We'll start in verse 1 of chapter 23 this morning. It says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares Yahweh. Therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohim of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares Yahweh." That's a scary statement. You've not attended to my people, I'm going to attend to you. You can see in these two verses You may be able to surmise the condition of God's people based on the leaders that rule over them. God is not happy. Verse 3, "Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to the pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them. They will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares Yahweh. Behold, the days are coming." What does "days coming" mean? It's pointing to a future prophecy. Declares Yahweh, "I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, Yahweh Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness." Days are coming prophecy. I want you to consider, first of all, that this is a messianic prophecy. Here God is revealing something that he's going to do in the future. What is he going to do? He's going to bring forth a branch. What does a branch do? You don't think about that much, do you? Well, we know what trees do. They give us oxygen. They represent life, God's word. They drink water, make beautiful leaves. A branch is an extension of yourself. God was going to raise up an extension of himself. See, the Father is the source, but he's going to bring forth from himself a branch. Who is this branch? This branch is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. And one of the characteristics and attributes of God's righteous branch, who is the Messiah, one of the things that he does, he becomes the righteousness of God's people. And so we read in verse 6, "This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness." Yahweh Sidkenu. This name tells us two things. I'll point out, it tells us a lot more than this. Number one, righteousness is intrinsic to God's nature. It is part of who he is. We've been looking at the names of God in the context of realizing that they describe who he is, the characteristics, the attributes of God Almighty. So know that because his nature is righteous, all of his deeds are righteous and true and perfect. This means that God must be right in all of his dealings with us. I don't know if you've ever felt like God has not dealt with you fairly or justly. Well, you're wrong, because God is righteous. Are there times that you don't believe that? Are there times in your life that you believe God is wrong, that you know best? We know the answer to that, but I don't believe our words and actions always reflect that. God, why? Why should this person die? God, why? It also means that God's laws are righteous. Remember who the standard of righteousness is. It's not one another. We like to do that, don't we? Well, as long as I'm staying ahead of the Joneses, God grades on a curve, right? It's got to be in the top 50%. Well, I do pretty good. Isn't that the way the world thinks? See, as long as you're measuring yourself up against others, you can find out a way to convince yourself that you are righteous. But see, the Bible calls such people self-righteous. And Jesus had a lot to say about them. They failed to see that the standard is not others. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter what things you've done in your life. It doesn't matter how many people you've saved and how many 20s you've given to the homeless. Your righteousness is not compared to those to your left and right. It is compared to God, whose character is righteous. And let me tell you and remind you this morning that you fall far short from God's righteousness. Secondly, notice that when God is called Yahweh Sidkenu, it means, I want you to notice, it says, does not say, "You are righteous." It doesn't even say that God is righteous, although he is. It says, God is going to be your righteousness. What a tremendous thought. That God not only is righteous, but he does not keep his righteousness to himself. God is perfect. He is the standard of holiness, of righteousness. And yet God wants you to participate in it through his Son, Jesus Christ. What does that mean to you, practically speaking, that Jesus is your righteousness, that Yahweh is your righteousness, that the Lord is our righteousness? It means that Jesus stands before God. See, a lot of times when we picture ourselves standing before God, we kind of cower in fear, don't we? He's holy. How could we stand before him? Sinners can't be in the presence of God. Certainly we must cower with fear and revere him. Why? Because we know the wrong things that we think, don't we? We know the wrong things that we do. The wrong things that we speak to people. Because of that, when we think of standing before God, sometimes we tend to shrink back because we're afraid of condemnation because of our sin. But understand that the Lord is our righteousness, that Jesus is our righteousness, that he's the one standing before God in your place, and because you know he's sinless and approved, you should have no fear in the presence of God Almighty. Jesus has taken the sin on his back, and he has transformed you, and you stand in the righteousness of God himself through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as long as you know that Jesus is standing in your place, those that are really of him, you can be assured of God's favor on your life. It's not by deeds of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to the mercy which he has saved us, Titus 3:5. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. In other words, your sin, my sin, were transferred onto the body of Jesus Christ on the cross. He took our sin on his own body. He died in your place. Because he took our sin on his own body and died in our place, he gave us his righteousness instead. We can be confident that we're righteous in God's eyes because our righteousness in God is not based upon the good works that you've done. It's also not based upon the bad works that you've done. There's nothing that you can do that can prevent you from being seen as righteous in Jesus Christ. His grace is sufficient. His blood was pure. It washed you. It is good. Jesus is our righteousness. It's not us that's going to be standing before the Father to determine whether we're righteous or not. Rather, it's Jesus standing before the Father in our place. Because we're in him, those that are truly in him, he's deemed us righteous. You see, Paul said that no man should be justified by the works of the law. In other words, you're not going to stand before God for anything you've done, good or bad. We're going to be rewarded for the good things that we've done in Jesus Christ. Sure, there will be a time. But this is not by which we attain righteousness and stand before God. The only way we can stand before him is in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know and be confident in his presence that you are not condemned before him, that you are righteous in Christ. This is a new thought to some of us in this room. We're taught to revere and be respectful before God. Oh, we've got to constantly confess our sins. And yes, while this is all true, positionally, God sees you as righteous in his presence. If Father God was mad at you, if he was condemning you, if he was judging you, if he was penalizing you for your sin, then why would every one of Paul's letters start with grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? Galatians, grace and peace. Ephesians, grace and peace. Philippians, grace and peace. Colossians, grace and peace. Who does it come from? God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says he that's been perfected in love does not fear because fear involves punishment. These are what these verses speak to, that God wants us to be assured of his love and to know that we're righteous in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, of course, I'm not speaking to these words to the world at large. And if you do not have Jesus Christ and believe in him as the way, the truth, and the life, confess your sins, believe that God has raised him from the dead, then you are not righteous And you should cower in fear before the presence of the Almighty God. But I'm speaking to the remnant. I'm speaking to the children of God. I'm speaking to those that are truly born again. I'm speaking to those that truly love Him and seek to do His will. Yahweh Tsidkenu, He is the Lord, your righteousness. Jesus is standing before the Father for you. Your standing is in Jesus. Therefore, you are righteous. Some people think that being righteous means being a good boy or girl. You set out to obey the rules. You do your best to learn from your mistakes. Behave the way you think you ought to, but you'll fail. Again and again, you will fail. And after a while, you'll stop trying so hard. You realize that you can just get away pretending. Pretending to be better than you really are. Pretending to be nicer, sweeter, more loving, less obstinate. But then guess what happens? You have children. You get married. You find yourself in a stressful situation. And you can't pretend anymore. Jesus did what you couldn't. And He didn't even have to. He just did. And that, my friends, is the barest bones of this thing we call the gospel. The good news. That I couldn't be good. I couldn't be righteous, and neither could you. Neither can your kids, your friends, or your husband, or your wife, or anyone else that you expect to be better than they really are. See, it's not about me and how well I do as a man, as a father, as a pastor, as a friend, as a husband, or even as a Christian. It's not about following the latest techniques or reading all the books that are going to turn you into the greatest Christian. It's not about going to that seminar that's going to make you God's perfect little angel. It's all about Him. Jesus is our righteousness. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. When Jeremiah spoke this prophecy, the kingdom of Judah was about to fall. The land of Judah was full of idolatry, oppression, violence, and they were in the midst of a political revolution. The northern kingdom of Israel had gone into captivity, as I said, about 100 years prior. And Judah seemingly learned nothing from God's judgment upon the northern tribes of Israel. But you know something? We are no better. We have no righteousness. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All of us have become one, like unclean. Our righteous deeds are as what? Filthy rags. All of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. But then Jesus, listen to what He has to say. Through one man's disobedience, that was Adam in the garden, many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, this is Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. Righteous. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You know, you're not under the law anymore. Why do we feel like we have to earn? Why do we feel like we have to perform for God? Why is it that when you mess up and slip up? No, I'm not giving you a license to go out and sin and do whatever you want. Be ye holy, for He is holy. But why is it that we condemn ourselves when Jesus is standing before the Father and He says, I have washed this child of mine? We say, I'm no good. I'm not worthy. I can't be on the worship team until I clean up my life. Well, that may be true if you're not trying. But let me tell you something. If you are trying to sin less, then God sees you, and God sees you as righteous. Why are you holding back from the things that God has told you to do? Why is it that we say, well, I'm not worthy to teach. I don't know enough about the Bible. Look at me. I don't even read my Bible every day. But God, through Jesus Christ, sees you as righteous. Now you probably remember that Jesus told us Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be. They shall be filled. Jesus also told us in chapter 6, I believe verse 33, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Have you ever thought about how you seek God's righteousness? It's a great verse, right? We say that. We know that verse. Seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. What does it look like? Turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to give you a little stroll down the Romans road this morning. The Romans road with the emphasis on God's righteousness. Romans, a great book of theology, masterfully written under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we might be encouraged and walk in the grace that God has for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 16 of chapter 1, my life verse, you've heard it. If you've attended here before, I'm sure. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's keep reading. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Say faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You want to seek the righteousness of God? It starts with faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. You know the next verse. Jesus, it's through faith in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, by which we partake in the righteousness of God. Simple as that. You want to be a beneficiary of God's righteousness. You want to seek after the righteousness of God. Really what it is, Jesus was saying, seek me in faith, and you will stand before God as righteous. You know, Paul didn't say that it was bad to observe the law. The law is what points us to the Father. He simply said that the law is not going to make you righteous, because you cannot fulfill the law. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. That's verse 21. Skip on down to chapter 14. Chapter 4, excuse me. 21. Being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore it was credited to him as righteousness. God did credit him. This was the promise. If you read the context of this, justification by faith through Abraham. He believed what God had promised. By faith, it was credited to him as righteousness. I don't know where you are in your walk, but that's it. That's the answer to the gospel question, faith in Christ. Jesus stands before God for you in his righteousness if you simply have faith in him and believe what God has done, what he said he has done. Chapter 5, 20. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin increased. Well, watch this. God's grace abounded much more So that what? We could reign through righteousness to eternal life. I don't know how many of you feel like kings and queens this morning, but I want you to know, spiritually speaking, that you reign in life through Jesus Christ. How many of you feel like princes and paupers, or maybe you feel like little peasants out in the field of God's kingdom laboring? God wants you to know that you reign this morning through his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Again, I don't know where you are in your walk. But God's eternal life is free. His word says all you have to do is believe on him. Doesn't matter if you're visiting with us this morning, we're going to go into a time of communion to interrupt the sermon. But I want you to know that if you're visiting with us, you're welcome to participate. But I ask these two things. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Because if you do not, you are guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul tells us in Corinthians. So I want you to do this reverently. If you don't want to participate, great. Just pass the plate along. But I want you to come before the Lord, and I want you this morning to reign in your righteousness through Jesus Christ, through the faith that you have in him. I'm going to have the ushers come forward. We're not done with the sermon yet. I want you just to hold on to these as they're passing the elements out. I want you just to begin to reflect and think for a change of condemnation, Romans 8:1, that there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus this morning. I know we're going to do things a little different. Let me just say a prayer over the elements. Father God, I thank you for your body, which is represented by this bread. And I thank you, Father, that you stood before heaven and all the wrath of God was unleashed on your back by the stripes, by the nails through your hands, the crown of thorns in your head. Our sin was paid for. The punishment was just. And it was complete. And as that blood of Jesus dripped down his brow and off his back through his hands and his feet, it washes us as white as snow. Father, your word says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins as far as the east is from the west. So Father, I thank you this morning for that precious blood of Jesus, which is represented by the nectar of the grapevine. As we partake this morning, we're reminded of all the great things that you've done, particularly on that day of crucifixion, where our penalty was paid. And I thank you, Father, that we stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ because we have faith in your Son. Amen. Again, the elements are going to come around. I'm going to ask that you just hold on to them. We're going to take of them together in a minute. When man fell in the garden, humankind sustained an infinite loss, the matter of righteousness. First, we suffered the loss of a righteous nature. We were marred. In addition to the loss of this legal righteousness in the sight of God, this is what Jesus came to undo, what the first Adam had lost. That precious blood would forever take away the consequences of sin from us. Since the moment you pass from death unto life, the old Adam still struggles for dominion within you. By the lust of the flesh, you are brought into captivity to the law of sin. The good you would do, you do not. And the evil that you would not, you all too often do. Some have thought that the works of the Holy Spirit in us would give us a righteousness which we might stand before God. I'm not here to say a derogatory word against the works of the Holy Spirit. It is divine, but the Spirit never meant to supplant the work of Jesus Christ. We should not depreciate the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to exalt the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are declared righteous not by what the Spirit has done. We're declared righteous by what Jesus Christ has done. We are wrapped and clothed in His righteousness. His death washed away our sins. His life has covered you from head to toe. From the first moment that Jesus did lie in that manger until the time when He ascended on high, He was at work to do God's will. He was at work for your salvation and for mine. He said to His Father, "I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work which You have given Me to do." What work? The work of atonement. As Jesus cried on the cross, His hands stretched out, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And this is His name by which He will be called, the Lord our righteousness, Yahweh Tsidkenu. As you ponder this verse, you should clearly see that this passage is speaking about Jesus HaMashiach, Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior of the world. He is the one that is called the Lord our righteousness. Oh, how the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, many cults foolishly deny that Jesus is Yahweh. They put Him to open shame, denying His divinity. They need to read that verse. And let their blasphemous tongues be silent, that the same Jesus who walked in the meager lands of Palestine was also at the same time possessor of heaven and on earth. He who had nowhere to lay His head, was despised and rejected of men, was at the same instant Lord of all. Who died on the cross was the ever-living, everlasting One. As a man He died, but as God He lived. As Mary's Son He bled. As the Son of the eternal God He had dominion over the entire world. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He perfectly lived out the law of God. And while Moses saw God's law written on tablets of stone, you saw God's law written on the face of Jesus Christ. He never sinned against the commands of the Father. From His eyes never once was there even a blink of sinful anger. On the tip of His tongue never was there an unjust word. In His private closet no fault could be found. In His understanding and knowledge there was no defect. In His judgment there was no error. In His miracles there was no pride. In Him there was no deceit. His powers were subject to the Father in perfect obedience, so that there was never a flaw of omission or stain of commission. Just as the law is summed up in this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind," He did so. Jesus Christ was righteousness personified. He may as well asked, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" But He hung on the cross in your place. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. 2,000 years have passed since, and blasphemy itself has not been able to change or charge Him with a fault. Strange that it is, often the most wicked of critics, they mock His death, they mock His life, yet they acknowledge His character, His dignity, don't they? They rail against His miracles, they mock, they deny His Godhead. But His righteous character they dare not impugn. They crack jokes about His death, but cannot find fault in His life. No one that I know of has ever dared to charge Jesus with unrighteousness. When we believe in Christ by faith, you share in His righteousness. I share in His righteousness. The merit of His blood takes away your sin. God looks upon you through that perfect obedience in His Son, Jesus Christ. Be bold, be very courageous, face heaven and do not fear hell with the words of the apostle in your mind. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Look back upon your past sins, observe your present, and look to all your future errors. While you weep in your tears of repentance, let no fear of condemnation linger in your heart, because today you stand before God, robed in your Savior's garments. With His spotless garments on, you are as holy as the Holy One Himself. Not even Adam, when he walked in Eden, was more accepted than you are if you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus and sprinkled with His blood. Actually, you have a better righteousness than Adam had. He had a human righteousness. Your garments are divine. Yes, he had a robe that was complete, but it was woven on earth. You have a garment that's complete, but it was woven by heaven itself. Go to the Father in the strength in the great of this great truth and praise him. For Yahweh is the Lord your righteousness. Rejoice in your everlasting righteousness. What? Everlasting? Oh yes, this robe shall never wear out. No thread of it shall ever give way. It shall never hang in tatters upon your sinful back. This, dear friend, this is our confidence. It is his seal. What a blessed heritage. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness, and confidence forever, says Isaiah 32, verse 17. You may pass through the valley of the shadow of death, but the darkness will not stain you. You can climb the hills of heaven, and the angels will wonder, what is this whiteness in which the sinner wears? Is God creating a new star that is so bright? You can wear it among principalities and powers, and never be inferior to any of them. Angelic garments are not so white, not so priestly, not so divine as the robe of righteousness, this everlasting perfection in which you walk in, you wear in Jesus Christ. Go to Jesus, glory unto him. Call on him, the Lord your righteousness, Yahweh Tsidkenu. Believe in him, take the garment, sinner. Take it, believe on him. Oh, but how can he save such a wretch as me? Well, let me tell you this morning, the God came to save those that were unsavable. He came to cure the incurable. He accepts the unacceptable. Should you be so presumptuous this morning? It's impossible. No, it's absolutely possible. God bids you. Rather, he commands you. Let this be your confidence this morning. This is the commandment, that you believe in Jesus Christ whom he has sent. If you cannot say it with a loud voice, let heaven hear it with the trembling silence of your soul. The Lord is my righteousness, Yahweh Tsidkenu. You have passed from a state of sin into righteousness. Call on him. Let your face say, as you see him suffering, bleeding, dying on the cross, my sins have been washed away. But don't let your faith stay there. As you see him sweating, toiling, obeying, come up to the throne of God. If you see smoke and flashes of lightning on the way, if you hear thunder's roar, be brave, say in your heart, I will ascend above the thunder. I will stand wrapped in his robes and I will talk with God. I will speak to him face to face. I have no cause to fear. I am perfectly, completely justified in his sight through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Does yesterday's sin make you tremble? Despite all your sin, believe that Jesus is your righteousness. Your good works do not approve his righteousness, and your bad works do not weaken it. It is a robe which your best deeds cannot improve, your worst deeds cannot stain. Stand confident in him, not in yourselves. Yes, say again, he is the Lord, my righteousness, Yahweh Tsidkenu. Oh, the peace this should bring you, the joy, the gladness. We have privileges which we could not have if he had not been our righteousness. We have reconciliation with God. We have confidence with boldness to God himself. We have adoption into the family. And God could not have adopted someone into his family except those that were righteous. Our prayers have been heard. For God cannot heal the prayer of the wicked. If Jesus had not been crying out for us. Oh, but he was crying out for us. He is crying out for us. Make this a daily matter of praise, that Jesus Christ is the Lord my righteousness. Let the church call out to Jesus Christ, for he is our righteousness. Thank him, praise him, extol him, for he is worthy. He is glorious, and he died for you. You may partake and give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father.
You are righteousness intrinsically, but yet you do not hoard it to yourself. You share it with us. We would be clothed in those white garments. Thank you. just as Jesus, King of heaven and on earth, is. We praise your holy name. Amen. You are dismissed.